Welcome to our class on Chassidus. We're going to be learning a beautiful Chassidic discourse from the Rebbe. The name of the Chassidic discourse is called Im B'chukoisai Telechu. The Rebbe said that this Chassidic discourse on Shabbos Parshas Baharim B'chukoisai, that year was the 27th day of the month of Iyar. It was also the Shabbat that blessed the month of Sivan in the year Tavshin Memches, 36 years ago. So again, the Chassidic discourse is based on the verse where it says in this week's Torah portion, "Im b'chukoisai teilechu, if you go in my statutes." Rebbe said it's explained in Likutei Torah, which is the classical Chassidic teachings from the Alter Rebbe, in the beginning of the Torah portion, Parshas B'chukoisai, which is called the Chassidic Torah portion. Now, that year, there were two Parshiot, Baharim B'chukoisai. This year, it's separate. Baharim separate, B'chukoisai separate. So, in that year, the Rebbe said it's the second Torah portion of the Baharim B'chukoisai, but obviously, it's referring to Parshas B'chukoisai. And as well, besides the fact that the Rebbe explains in Likutei Torah, it's also explained in a different Chassidic discourses of the Chabad Rebbeim afterwards, and they explain what does B'chukoisai mean. B'chukoisai means comes from the expression of Chakika, something that's carved in. In other words, that Torah on the highest level is in the way where it's carved in. Like it says, Charus ala luchais, the luchais, the tablets, they were engraved, they were carved in. So that's the highest level, when something is carved in. Chukoisai from chakika. Then you have where it comes down, where it's written, regular writing, which is called Torah Shebaksav, the written law. And then it comes down to a lower level, where it's called Torah Shebaper, the Torah which is given over orally. What's the difference? When it comes to oisios, letters that are carved in, which are basically carved in and engraved, for example, in the stone. So what happens then is the letters, not only the content of the letters, but the whole essence of the letters, they're one with the stone. And you can, and they're so engraved that you can't actually differentiate between them. It's so part and parcel of it. And that is the level of the letters that are carved in of the Torah, that are literally one with Hashem. So that is the highest level, where it's totally engraved, carved in, it's one with Hashem. Afterwards, it goes down to a lower level, where you have a parchment, you have a letter on top of it, that's the written letters. And like the author writes in Tanya, and he says that the Torah went and traveled down from the highest places till it came down to ink on the book. And so when you have ink and a parchment, it's two different things. And you could technically take the ink off the parchment. Versus when something is carved in, it's one. And remember, you can say that when it comes to something that's carved in, and you cannot, so to speak, separate it out of the stone, there's two components when something's carved in. One is that when something is carved in, you can take the letter out of the stone. Why? Because once it's carved in, it's one. How are you going to take the letter out? That's point number one. And number two is, you can't take the stone away from the letter. Because what is that stone, once it has the carved letter, is the stone is that it has those letters in there. So A, you can't take the letter out, and B, you can't take the stone out. So based on this, Rebbe explains, so everything, so imagine for a moment you have a stone, and you carve out letters. So again, the letter is part of the stone is part of the letter. So therefore, everything on the stone around the part that shapes the letter is called in Hebrew psoilus. It's extras, because you have a big stone and you carve out a letter, so you need the empty space which creates the letter and the space around it. Everything around there is totally extra. In other words, besides the fact that we know the simple idea of the extra of the tablets, that it's brought down in the Talmud, it says that Moshe Rabbeinu became very wealthy from it. And what is that from? That's from the part that got chipped out. But the way the Rebbe explained before is that the only really part that's important for the stone is the part that's connected to the letter. So anything that's not attached that creates a letter is all part of the extras. In other words, even part of the stone that where the letter is not, which is a very, very big area, like it says in the Talmud, that the dimensions of the luchot, of the tablets are, so the length was six hand breadths, the width was six, and the height was three. So 6 by 6 by 3. So in other words, everything which is basically not part of the part that creates the letter is considered the extras of the letters. And Rebbe brings out another point. He says to bring out that another place is explained that from the Talmud it comes out that the tablets were actually square. Without, you know, they have those designs on top, the round designs on top. So based on this, Rebbe says, 1 second, it's a tremendous wonder. It's a side point I was bringing out here, that some have a custom that unfortunately we're living in exile and in the darkness of exile. So they go ahead besides the square of the tablets, they go ahead and they make like this round circle on top. Now, some are going to say, 1 second, this is what we've done it for ages, for generations. So it's almost like a custom. And we know there's a rule is that a custom of our ancestors, that's considered Torah. But the fact, as Rebbe says, that does not take away from the authentic image of the tablets, and the authentic image of the tablets was square, and therefore it remains square. Matter of fact, ever since Rebbe spoke about this at length many, many times, the Chabad custom is to make sure that anytime there's an image of tablets, we make it square without the round on top. Okay, but that's a side note. Get back to the main point. So what we just learned, that B'chokhoisa is referring to chakika, when something's carved in. And carved in, it's one with the stone. The letter is one with the stone is one with the letter. And everything else technically is extras. So now we're going to learn, what does this mean practically? And it was like in the world of Kabbalah, it's called, what does it mean by avoida and serving Hashem? What does that mean practically? It means practically is that when we learn Torah, the Torah has to be engraved within us. Just like the engraved in the stone is part of the stone, the same thing also, Torah has to be part of us. Now, and just like we explained before, there's two different levels of where it's connected. The stone is connected to the letter is connected to the stone. So the same thing also, there's two components here as well. One part is that the whole idea of Torah, the whole essence of Torah is the Jewish people. Up to the point that when you learn Torah, and when you study Torah, and you think about Torah, you can't differentiate that the person is something else. And like the Rebbe brings the example where it says in the verse, "Uvisay rosay," in his Torah. I mean, it's your Torah. It's not your Torah. It's Hashem's Torah. But guess what? It's called your Torah because when you learn Torah, it becomes your Torah. As a matter of fact, up to the point that if, let's say, someone's a Talmudic scholar and he wants to go ahead and accept the fact that he won't be honored for his learning Torah. So the question, how can you do that? It's not your Hashem's Torah. But the fact is, no, because once you learn Torah, it's your Torah. You're considered a scholar. And if you want to basically not mind the fact that people don't respect you, that's okay. And you can say, Rebbe says, that's what we also know, that what it's brought down and says, that the Jewish people and the Torah and Hashem, the three Jewish people, at Torah and Hashem, we're all one. How are we one? Because the Jewish people connect to Hashem through the Torah. How do we connect to Hashem through the Torah? Because the fact is, we become one with the Torah. And not only that, we actually create a union with the Torah and Hashem. So we literally become one with the Torah. So the Torah and the Jewish people are all one. And like it's explained elsewhere, to explain the idea, it says that there are three knots that connect one with the other. The Jewish people with the Torah, and the Torah with Hashem. So the question is, how's the three? You really only have two knots. You have the first knot from the Jewish people to the Torah, and the Torah to Hashem, and we're all connected. So what does it mean there are three? But the fact is, what does that mean? Because there's a third one. Because again, it goes from the Jewish people to the Torah to Hashem. But then there's one that connects Hashem to the Torah. And the fact that the Jewish people connect Hashem to the Torah, and like it's explained at length in Chassidus, that King David, he would connect Torah on high with Hashem. So we create a full circle. In other words, and this is, and so you're going to say, 1 second, this is said about King David. And we know King David was the king of the Jewish people, who's alive and well, or as he's called, the King Messiah, who's going to be the ultimate redeemer. But the fact is, every single person has a component of King David within us. And just like, for example, when it comes to the spark of Rav Shimon Yochai, and the spark of Moshe Rabbeinu, who was the first redeemer, So obviously, every part of these people, whether it's Moshe Mordechai, Moshe Rabbeinu, and King David, connects to every single Jewish person, and that's why we are called. The Jewish people are called the Chatan, and the Torah is called the Kala. The Jewish people are called the Groom, and the Chatan is the Bride, because we're connected. So the first point I was bringing out is that the Torah and the Jewish people are inseparable. Every part of Torah is connected to the Jewish people. That's from one perspective. And from the second perspective is that every single part of the Jewish person is Torah. A Jew is Torah. And like the Rebbe brings the powerful analogy that's given, and from Rabbi Akiva. What did Rabbi Akiva say? That the Jewish people and Torah is just like fish in the water. In other words, fish, you take it out of water, it dies. The same thing also, the Jewish people without Torah, we're dead. We need to have the Torah. So before he explained that Torah is what? The Jewish people are part of Torah. Now he's saying the Jewish people without Torah is not the Jewish people, because we would die without it. So we're totally connected to Torah. Not only that, based on what's brought down in the Medrash, it's brought down in the Chassidic discourse of the Rebbe Rashab, the opinion of Shimon ben Gamaliel, it says that when you have someone, let's say, is going to immerse in the sea, and what happens is you have to be totally connected to the water. But what happens if you're touching a fish? Guess what? A fish is not considered a separation between your body and the water. Why? Because the whole existence of a fish is water. And therefore, if you're in the water and a fish is touching you, it's not considered a separation. You're still connected to the water. And the same analogy applies to the Jewish people in Torah. We're totally one with the Torah. What does that mean practically? That means, very simple, that when you learn Torah, you have to learn in a way of chikika, where it's totally one with you. In other words, the person learning Torah is one with the Torah. And there you can even explain this to a child. Because the whole existence is Torah. Because what happens is when a person learns Torah, and his whole being is Torah. So even when he's dreaming, what are you dreaming about? You're dreaming about Torah. Why? Because that's who we are. And Rebbe says he liked to connect this with the idea where it says "Ba'achai yiten elibay," that the living should give the heart. What does that mean? You should give it to your heart. Knows if it's a true giving, and we know that whoever gives with a good eye. So therefore, you give your whole art, that your whole existence, your whole heart, your whole being, every part of you becomes a part of Torah. So now, what I'm explaining, to recap, that what's the idea of chikika, where you become one, where the Jewish people and Torah are totally one. And Rebbe says he liked to connect this with an explanation of the Rebbe's father, and he has commentaries on the Zohar, on the Parsha, and he says that choik, which is a statue, is spelled with two letters, a ches and a kuf. And Rebbe says, the Rebbe is bringing from his father, that explains that these two letters, the ches and the kuf, that, so if you look at a ches, what's a ches? It's a vertical line, horizontal line, and a vertical line. No empty spaces. A kuf is also a vertical line, a horizontal line. There's a little gap, but then there's a long vertical line on the other side, which is similar to the letter of a hey, because a hey has a vertical, horizontal, has a gap, and then you have another vertical line. So what's the difference? The difference is only with the left foot, so to speak. They both have a right. They both have the one on top. The difference is the hey has the gap, ches is connected, and the kuf is very, very long. So what's the difference? And so he explained, the Rebbe's father explains there at great length the difference between these letters. By the way, in the Zohar of the week, we discussed it as well, this idea. Okay, so that's from the Rebbe's father. So the Rebbe says, based on what's explained in Likutei Torah, that what is the letter Hey? The letter Hey, which is the three lines, right, top, and then the left side, is referring to thought, speech, and action. What does that mean? In other words, what's the foundation? What's the idea of the letter Hey? Because we know that Hashem created the world with the letter Hey. In other words, so the letter Hey, besides the fact that we learned that it's thought, speech, and action, it's also the letter that Hashem used to create the world. And the way Hashem created the world. And what does that mean practically? So like this. You have the three letters in the Hey. You have the one on the right, the top, and on the left. And we said that the Hey is Hashem used to create the world. So we know that Hashem created the world is four worlds: Atzilus, Bri, Yetzira, Asiya. So the three letters that Hashem, the three lines of the Hey is referring to. This is the author explains in the Torah, the three worlds of Bria, Yetzira, and Asiya. And that corresponds, like we already learned before, to Machshava, Dibur, Maisa, thought, speech, and action. So action is obviously connected to the world of Asiya. Speech is connected to the world of Yetzira. And thought is connected to the world of Bria. Now, so therefore, and that's the reason why the line on top, which is referring to thought, is always connected to the line on the right, which is connected to speech. Why is that? Because speech always comes after this thought. You don't just start talking, you think, and then you speak. So thought and speech are always connected. And even when a person is speaking, not necessarily in an organized fashion, that's because it's not. He's speaking a short while after he thought about it. But thought is always connected to speech. So if the speech is not correct, it's because the thought wasn't correct. But thought and speech are always connected. However, when it comes to action, there's always a disconnect from thought, because when a person does something, it's not necessarily noticeable that it comes from your thought. And like, for example, the three worlds of Bria, Tzira, Asiya, that Tzilus is the one that's closest to Hashem, then you have Bria, creation, Yetzira, formation, but Asiya is already a disconnected world. Like it says in the verse, Af Asisiv. You know, Af basically breaks the two. Barasi Yetzartiv, which is connected, and then Af, there's a break, and then you have Asiya. Now, so that is so far the spiritual component of the Hay. Machshava Diba, which is connected, action, which is disconnected, and the same thing also Bri at Sirius, which is connected, and Asiya, which is what is disconnected. But when we do our work in the creation of the world, we have the power to change in two areas. Either, you know, because so far we have the creation of the world as the Hay, where there's a gap between Machshava Dibur HaMaisa and Bri Yetzir and Asiya. So either we can go ahead and we can upgrade. Now, just to give instruction before we get into this, obviously everything that, generally speaking, a lot of times we explain the Ches and the Kuf in a negative way, like a Kairach, etc. But here, they're just going to explain in a positive way. So either we can have upgrade the Hay to a Ches, where basically, what does that mean? You're upgrading the Hay to a Ches. That means that the action is connected to your thought and speech, which is a tremendous thing. Because normally, not always the action is connected to your thought and speech. The upgrade of Ches into Hay, the upgrade part, not the negative way of looking at it, is where the action is connected to thought and speech. Or you can upgrade to Kuf, where basically the thought and speech and your action gets grounded in reality. And what does that mean? You're explaining as follows. The revolutionary idea of the Ches, where we said the action is connected with thought, so that represents completion in action. It's not just an action. There was a thought, there was a speech, and the action is connected to it. And it's connected to a way that, like the connection we know in a mitzvah is called, why is it called mitzvah? Called mitzvah because it comes from tzav of a chibra, it's connected. So ches in the positive is the upgrade where the action is connected to thought and speech. And it points out in brackets, even though we know there's ches on the other side, the negative, so to speak. In other words, where basically it's connected to the thought and speech, and because of that, unfortunately, you know, you can have the action too quick, and it can go into, it's called in Kabbalistic terms, unika to chitzonim, it can go out and become negative. But over here, we're talking about, again, the ches in choik in a positive way. So you have, obviously, the ches in the negative, which we're not talking about that here. We're talking about the upgrade of ches, where, again, the action is connected to the thought. What's the revolutionary idea, the upgrade, so to speak, of the kuf? So that's literally where it comes down, what you're trying to do in reality. And it literally can come into negative place and transform it. Just like it's explained when reference to the letter lamed. So we know the lamed has a thing on top, which means it goes above the line. Which basically is like building like a castle in the ear, which is above the level of Ishtalshlit. So that looks like you have the lamed on the upgrade side. You have the kuf, so to speak, on the downside, but also in a positive way. Now obviously, you're going to say, what do you mean? Kuf, we know that kuf is a negative, but there's no, you can say there's no such thing as a kuf in Kedusha. because here the Rebbe explained isn't holiness. And the contrary, the Rebbe says the main letter kuf isn't holiness. Because the Rebbe says, even we know that, for example, so the Pari said that I made the Nile and it's mine. But that's only Pari. But most people say, no, God is God, but there's a higher God. In other words, but the point is that kuf does exist in holiness. So what does that mean? What is the holy part? It's referring to bringing down into below reality, which means bringing down a great light into a place where it normally doesn't come, into a dark place. So that's the ches and the kuf in the positive side. Now it gives an example, like we find in reference to the letter nun. You have the regular nun, and then you have the final nun where it actually goes down. Like in the word in the Torah where it says uvoi with Hashem tidbuku, you should connect to Hashem, because sometimes it says tidbuku without the final nun, means it without going down low. But over here, in this verse, where it speaks about connecting to Hashem, because after it mentions six different powerful ways to connect to Hashem, so then it comes to tell us that we have the fifth level to bring it down, and five to the power, which is 5 times 10 is 50, to bring it down into the materialistic world. It is below where we can normally go to, like the expression of Kabbalah, lamata adin tachlis, to the lowest places, up to the point that you can literally take something which is negative and transform it into the positive. Okay, so what do we explain so far? That you have the idea of chayik, where it becomes one. And he explained the two letters of ches and kuf at the upgrade part, where the action is connected to thought and speech, and the kuf is where basically you bring the energy into the lowest places. Now, Rebbe says we know that there's a standard way of operating, which is called timidim kesidram. There's a proper flow, the way things flow. Just like what's called Tamid and Gesidron, when you go things in order. For example, Aleph Beis. The Aleph is first and the Beis is second. That's called going in a proper order. So therefore, if you take the three letters we're talking about, the He, which is used to create the world, and then the Ches, and then the Kuf. So if you go in the proper order, Hey comes first, like we explained first, Hey was Makshava, with thought, speech, and action. Then you have the Ches, where it connects the action to the thought. And then you have Kuf, the way it comes down into this world. So that was the proper flow, the way the world is created with the Hey. And then you have the void of the Ches, through doing our work of connecting the action to the thought. And then you have the Kuf, which basically brings it down into this world, which is referring to the level of Tshuva. That's the regular approach. Hey, the world, Ches connecting the action to the thought, and Kuf bringing it into the world, the idea of what? Of returning to Hashem. But there's also a way called not going based on the regular path. What is that path called? That's the path of Baal Tshuva. He jumps hoops. He does things differently. So you have the spiritual work in the opposite way is also. Because normally we start with the hay to the ches to the kuf. But the Baal Tshuva can start from the back. He can start with the kuf. How do you start with the kuf if you're supposed to go in order? Because we also know that there's a way to read the aleph base backwards. Like it's called tashrak, tough shin reish kuf. You start from the last letter and you go up to the highest letter. And like we find in the prayers on Shabbat, the Musaf of Shabbat, so it says tikanta Shabbos retisa kamnesa. So you see it lists the alphabets backwards. So. So he starts with the kuf, which is the tshuva, and then he goes to the ches, and then he obviously has to do the work of the hay, which is basically doing things properly. You don't just go always, jumping hoops. You start from the back, but then eventually you start doing things right. Then the Rebbe says there's also another way of serving Hashem. They actually start with the ches, the middle letter, and that's like the word chukah, where it's ches, kuf, and then hay. And with these three letters, and obviously the different ways to start it, whether it's starting with the hay and then to the ches to the kuf the way it's normally, or you're starting with the kuf and the ches and hay, or ches kuf, all these different ways, that is our spiritual work in this world. It, within here lies our spiritual work. But to finish up, and he says, when we do our work in a complete way, what will happen is when we do our work, which again basically means our thought, speech, and action, we connect our action, we bring it down, we do tshuva, we will come to the geula, the redemption of the future, which is going to happen, like Deborah always beautifully finishes off, bekarov mamash, very, very soon. So here we have another beautiful Chassidic discourse in B'chukoisei Teleichu about connecting to Hashem, being one with Hashem. And like the Rebbe finishes off and he says, when we become one with Hashem, we'll ultimately merit to the ultimate revelation. So let's hope and pray that we do merit to the ultimate revelation. Our next class will be in Yerushalayim, Ir HaKodesh. Have a great and blessed week. Shavua Tov.